Let's dive into these five habits revisited to really help you tie this all together.
Let's go.
The most energetic, fit, and stress-resilient people on the planet practice daily habits to keep their hormones balanced, their gut healthy, and their muscles and mind strong. Welcome to That Fitness Couple. We're Mike and Corey Beth Lepowski, founders of Pure Physique.
This podcast is designed to provide you with everything we've discovered and continue to discover about nutrition, training, and lifestyle. Today, we all live hectic lives.
So we've made it our mission to make your fitness time efficient and to build you up. Hope you share and enjoy. Let's dive into today's episode.
Let's go.
We have covered a lot of topics over the last several weeks, and the biggest question we get is, how do I pull this all together? So today's episode is about the five habits that you need to really pull this all together, and we believe you could do this.
No, you absolutely can, and I think a great place to start, though, is instead of diving into those five habits, which we've covered in detail over the last several weeks, as you mentioned, but I think the first place I'd like to start is with 18 ways to not get fit.
Let's do this.
All right. So let's go ahead and jump in. Do you want to take it away?
Yeah. Number one, don't resistance train.
Yeah. I mean, why would you ever do that if you want to get fit? I mean, it's only the king of all forms of exercise.
Queen.
And covers.
It could be the king and queen of all exercise.
Yes. It could be the king or queen. It is the royalty of all exercise. How about that?
Yeah. Otherwise, you're going to be skinny fat. Number two.
Be less active. So don't consider at all doing anything outside of your regular exercise sessions. Just be lazy the rest of the time.
Three, sit at your desk all day. I think there's actually a photo that they showed us of what workers are going to look like in the future. And it was this like hunched over, they almost look like sloths. And I was like, well, yeah, if we sit at our desks all day, but we can prevent that. So don't sit at your desk all day.
Number four would be eat less protein.
Number five, don't eat red meat.
Ooh, number six, stay dehydrated.
And number seven, drink more caffeine.
Because if you're dehydrated, I mean, what better way to make yourself even more dehydrated than to just keep consuming caffeine all day long? Number eight is eat lots of carbohydrates.
Yeah, and that one's a crazy one. There's been a lot on social media about, you know, you do need carbs, and a lot of people are refuting like you don't need carbs. And at the end of the day, carbohydrates are not necessary to sustain human life. You don't actually need carbs.
No, you don't actually need carbs. The question becomes, is it optimal for our health? And if so, which carbohydrates? But I think that's going to be a topic all in of to itself.
Number nine, eat lots of sugar.
Because if you're going to eat carbs, you might as well eat tons of sugar.
Just go to Dunkin' Donuts. You'll be fine.
All right. Number 10, eat less whole foods.
Yeah. And then number 11, eat more ultra processed foods. New study on that, how ultra processed foods are not good for us. I mean, what a novel discovery.
Crazy. Number 12, eat out frequently, because there is nothing better than getting food that's just fried in seed oils.
Which leads us to number 13, eat more seed oils.
Number 14, drink alcohol frequently.
Quick aside on that, we have a good friend, and we've covered this before, who said that she saw wine depicted as sad juice, and that got her to stop drinking wine, now going on almost 2 years. All right, number 15, go to bed late. Just be nocturnal, never sleep.
Number 16, consistently sleep less than 7 hours a night.
And then number 17, don't take rest days.
And number 18, be inconsistent.
I mean, these really are, I mean, like we're speaking tongue in cheek, and they're funny, but they're not funny. I mean, but so many people say, you know, getting fit is so complicated, or I don't know where to begin. And we hope at this point we paved a good path for you. But when you look at these 18 things, it's really easy to say, you know what? I don't need that much coffee. I don't need a fifth, a sixth, or a seventh cup of coffee. Because I know some of you moms are like, I just need more energy. Like, I just got to pick it up at 3 o'clock in the day. It probably has a lot more to do with your nutrition than it has to do with anything else, or just your sleep habits at night. But that being said, let's dive into these five habits revisited to really help you tie this all together.
All right. Well, the first one, and we alluded to it at the top of our things not to do, which is to resistance train 2 to 3 times per week. We know that needs to be a focal point in everybody's exercise program, because nothing's going to give you bigger bang for your buck.
Yeah, no, it's so true. And in that, I love how you really laid this out, that when we're resistance training 2 to 3 times a week, we really want to choose 8 to 12 exercises in that workout. And I think that that gives people a lot of freedom. We don't have to go in and do 20 and 30 things. You also don't want to get stuck just doing the treadmill or just doing the elliptical. You know, which is not resistance training, by the way. We want to get you over to the weight section, the machines, the free weights, even the TRX bands. And if you could choose 8 to 12 exercises to do, Mike will explain how to do them. That really is all you need.
Well, before getting into the specifics of the how, I mean, let's just talk about how much we need to do. And we mentioned this on a podcast several weeks ago, which is when you're going in to do these workouts, you really don't need to put in a certain timestamp on your workouts. Meaning, I remember growing up and everybody saying you have to work out for at least 60 minutes, but what are you doing within those 60 minutes? And with our approach, it's more about quality over quantity. And with that in mind, how many sets do you need to be doing per exercise? Probably just 1 to 2 sets. I mean, a lot of it is just dependent upon your intensity of effort. The harder you work, the less you actually need to do. And so I take that position of if you're going to do a particular exercise and you set your intention in doing as much work as possible within 1 to 2 sets, chances are you're going to work a lot harder versus going into your workouts and determining I'm going to do 4 sets of each exercise. Well, how much are you going to pace yourself through the first 2 or 3 before you actually work hard on the last? So just knock it all out right from the front end and work, do the hard work up front. Now, also along those lines of what is quality in terms of our execution of those exercises, well, I think it all begins with how we perform each repetition. And I think a good place to start is just with the timing of each rep. And if you take anywhere between 5 and 6 seconds to perform any repetition, that probably means you're going slow enough to eliminate momentum or do anything haphazardly. You actually are in control of each repetition, which is ultimately what we're after. I know some people can argue that, well, you can move faster and still be under control, and that is absolutely true. But I would rather do things a little bit slower and ensure quality versus just hoping or guessing that I'm doing it the right way. So by taking, though, that 5 to 6 seconds, the next piece is how long should we be doing each set for, or how many repetitions should I be performing? And in that instance, anything between 45 and 90 seconds worth of work tends to be ideal. But within that, if we're doing 5 to 6 second reps, that means we're doing anything between 8 and 15 reps per set. Now, with regards to those 8 to 15 reps that you're doing, in the best world scenario, you are reaching fatigue in those 8 to 15 reps, meaning you've reached a point of momentary muscular failure, or maybe you've fallen 1 rep shy. We know based on the research, people who fall as much as 2 reps shy pretty much get the same result in terms of muscle hypertrophy and strength gains. But the closer you're working to fatigue, the more you're ensuring that you are doing enough work. And then as far as how many workouts in a week, if you're doing anywhere between 1 and 4 workouts in a week, then we think it's ideal to perform either full body workouts if you're performing fewer workouts in the week, or maybe you're doing some type of split like a push, pull, and leg day, or just push and pull and for upper and lower body, and splitting that up amongst those 1 to 4 workouts.
Awesome. I love that so much. I think that gives people, again, a lot of freedom is really the only word that I could think of when it comes to working out this way. And again, for people who enjoy going for a run, rowing, cycling, jogging, whatever it is that you enjoy, you don't have to cut that out. Resistance training really is, I love how you explain, it's the foundation. It's where we should be first. It's pushing our muscles to actually grow. It's pushing us to get stronger. It's giving us the tone we need so that we can go perform those other exercises better.
No, and then also there is a hormonal benefit to resistance training, which far exceeds that of any other form of exercise that we could perform. So
yeah, and a calorie burning benefit too, right? Over time, this was what got me. Can we just throw this in here?
Sure.
I think this was fascinating because I was that, you know, treadmill elliptical girl where I was like, okay, like I'm looking at the counter on the machine, and we've already covered in previous episodes that really is a very inaccurate calorie burn counter. You know, that's measuring what's going on in our bodies. There's so many other factors. But when it comes to resistance training, I was like, wow, you explained it this way one time. When you're on that elliptical and you are ellipticaling, right? You're just going, the calorie count is going up. But the minute you stop that exercise and get off that machine, your calorie burn stops. So you may have burned 200, 300, 400, maybe even upwards of 500 calories. But the two problems with that, number one, when you're done, your calorie burn is done. And two, you're in a deficit, and so you're probably hungry. And so I remember doing that and going home and being like, oh, I just worked out, now I can eat. And the difference is with resistance training is you may only burn 150 calories in that 30-minute resistance training workout, but the difference is because of this phenomenon called EPOC, which is excess post-oxygen consumption, you continue to burn calories at an elevated level for hours after you leave the gym. So you're thinking like, oh, I only burned 150, but you're not starving. You're not gonna go binge on something you probably shouldn't have anyway. And the fact that you literally can just go about your normal everyday activities and continue to burn calories at an elevated like rate, that for me was like the justification I needed to stop doing something that I didn't like, which is the elliptical and just resistance train. Hey, we hope you're enjoying our show and finding it valuable. If you could do us a quick favor, it would mean the world to us. Please take a moment to rate and review our podcast on your favorite platform. Your reviews help us reach more people and share our message. Plus, we'd love to hear your feedback. Thanks for being awesome and supporting us. Now, back to the show.
Following up the resistance training, the next habit that we really need to hone in on is protein. Prioritizing protein, that will come as no surprise to any of you. And we've talked in the past that the three main advantages of prioritizing your protein are that it will help you with your muscle and your metabolism. Protein also has a greater thermic effect, meaning your body will actually use up more calories, breaking down and absorbing that protein compared to the other macronutrients. And then it has a satiety advantage. When we are consuming more protein, we tend to feel fuller and less hungry. And in terms of how much protein should we be consuming? Well, you just take your ideal body weight, even if it's a pie in the sky number that you're thinking of, and you multiply that by 0.8. And that's going to give you probably the least amount of protein that you should be consuming on a daily basis. And then you can consume up to 1 gram. Now, it's not that you can't consume more than 1 gram per pound of your ideal body weight. It's just that beyond that point, we're really not providing our bodies any additional benefit from that protein. In fact, most of it is going to be just converted into energy. And then as far as the best sources of protein to eat?
Animal protein is best. Why?
Because it's just more bioavailable. You know, when we look at that full spectrum of amino acids that we're supposed to be getting, we're not only getting the full spectrum of amino acids, but we're getting them in the form in which our body can best absorb and utilize them. So for that reason, we're always going to promote the animal protein as where we should be placing our focus. And of course, the last question around this that often comes up is, how much should I be spreading throughout the day? Should I be eating all my protein at once, spread it over 2 meals, more meals? Well, a lot of the research does point to spreading it over multiple meals actually works best. But of course, as we tie this into controlling our insulin, which, spoiler alert, that's going to be next, many of you may only be eating 2 or maybe upwards of 3 times per day. And that's absolutely fine. As long as you are getting the optimal amount of protein spread over those 2 to 3 meals, you're getting exactly what you need.
Love it. Well, number 3 is manage our insulin.
And the 2 ways to go about managing our insulin is to first control our carbohydrate intake and then also control the timing of our eating. Specifically, we're talking about intermittent fasting or time-restricted eating, making sure that between those 2 things, keeping our carbohydrates lower and not consuming as many refined sugars, that is going to be step number 1 in helping to keep our insulin levels under control. But for those who do still consume carbohydrates on a frequent basis and they're not ready to give up the carbs, utilizing time-restricted eating can help assist in suppressing our insulin by just simply having more extended periods of time that we're in a fasted state.
Love it. Let's dive into our next habit, the 4th one, which is sleeping 7 to 9 hours a night. And the biggest thing that I loved, one of the research studies you came across, was that sleep deprivation led to fat gain, strength loss, and decreased performance. And I think that in and of itself is enough encouragement to get to bed on time. And so it really is about getting on a regular schedule. A lot of people, influencers, will talk about your morning routine, and these are like the most amazing morning routines and the habits you have to have, and get in sunlight and ground yourself and drink lemon water and all this stuff. I think it's actually more important to have a nighttime routine so that you can have a kick-ass morning routine, because who's getting up for that amazing morning routine if you're pushing your bedtime later and later and later, trying to accomplish more at night? And sometimes, I'm just going to speak as somebody who used to go to bed between 2 and 4 o'clock in the morning, it's nothing good happens after about 11 o'clock. You know, and again, if you're a shift worker, obviously that's different. But if you're literally in your house, you literally have like a 9-to-5 job, there is nothing that you're going to accomplish after 11 o'clock at night that you cannot do at another point in time. You just have to manage your time better. In that too, we want to talk about just a good sleep environment. And so for you, what temperature is that?
I like to keep the room around 61 degrees or so. I mean, the colder, the better. But that is part of getting a good night's rest, is creating that optimal environment. And we know that some temperature between 60 and 67 degrees is what we are told is the optimal temperature to be sleeping in. But from many of the experts that I've come across on the topic, the cooler, the better. So I like to keep it as cool as possible. But then, of course, also limiting blue light exposure leading up to bedtime. So that just does tie into what you were saying in terms of having a good nighttime routine. It's making sure that you remove all the lights from your room, that it is dark, it's cool, but just limiting how much television, computer, gaming, all the time on your phone that happens before going to bed. The greater the distance between your last exposure to that and the time you go to bed, the better.
Well, and if you're someone that lays in bed and does like the phone above your head, like drop your phone on your head, falling asleep, like that was me for a long time. And that is me from time to time. I'm like, I just want to like get in my calendar. And then it leads to scrolling Instagram. And, you know, it's funny. I think Instagram is one of the biggest shopping locations online. Like it's actually not a store, but because there's so many ads on there, it's actually where consumers spend a great deal of money. And so with that, here's what I'm going to suggest. You're like, I don't know if I could put my phone away. I don't know if I could put it in the bathroom, you know, or far away from me. Try it for one night. You know, I notice a stark difference between the nights where I'm like, let me just look over my calendar. Let me just read a couple of emails while like I'm laying here and Mike is sleeping next to me, you know, and what I'll find is it is so much harder to go to bed. Whereas when I put my phone in the other room and it's plugged in the bathroom on airplane mode, of course, it's so easy to go to bed and I have such an amazing night's sleep. I feel rested in the morning. So if you're the late night shopper, and we're not going to call you out, but you know who you are, just try it for one night. Put it in the other room just for one night and see the difference and then decide for yourself.
The fifth habit is kind of the unsung hero here, and this is hydration. And just as with sleep, oftentimes if we look at what happens with sleep deprivation, we can see all of the reasons why we need to focus on our sleep. Well, in a very similar fashion, if we look at what happens when our body's dehydrated, that becomes the motivation for why we should stay hydrated all the time. And here's just how it breaks down. Being just 1% dehydrated leads to a lack of focus and can disrupt our body temperature. Being 2 to 3% dehydrated can impair our memory, performance, and lowers our reaction time. Being 4% equals a 20 to 30% reduction in our work capacity. That's not just our productivity at work. That means that for those of you who are intent on making improvements in your workout, each day that you are sleep deprived, you are actually making it more and more difficult to make those strength gains that you're shooting for. And then 5% dehydration leads to difficulty concentrating. This is where you start to experience headaches. And for many people, it also leads to sleepiness and just general fatigue.
Other things that can happen when you're dehydrated are muscle cramps, constipation, dry skin. So if that's you, probably drinking a bit more water would help. And then also hydration has a correlation with fat loss, according to research. So a great reason to drink some water. And for someone like you, who doesn't love to drink water, especially in the winter months, what would be some of your strategies for the non-water lovers?
Well, I think the first thing is to get off to a good start early in the day. The sooner you can get yourself consuming more water early in the day, the easier it makes it to get the optimal amount by the end of the day. So I tend to be of the mindset that I don't want to drink a lot of water leading up to bedtime because I want to be able to get good sleep. And I know that if I'm drinking too much water, well, I'm going to be up and going to the bathroom and that's going to disrupt my sleep. But if I can drink enough water leading up to, say, 7 p.m. and then cut it off there or significantly reduce it after that, then I know I'm in good shape. So for me, it's all about getting my day started with that first 16 ounces of water. Yeah. So before even drinking the coffee, having the water, and then making sure that after the coffee, another 16 ounces. But what's interesting is you mentioned the research, and a lot of the research says that having about 500 milliliters of water prior to a meal is what helps us to burn more body fat. And not for any particular reason, not that the water is magical, but because when we're drinking at least that much water prior to a meal, chances are it's going to fill us up a little bit more and we're not going to overeat. Plus, there is a thermic effect of water, meaning our body will warm up water and burn calories in that process. However, I just want to make mention that it's not significant. So if you're going out of your way to drink ice cold water, thinking that that's going to be the key to losing lots of fat, it's not.
And then people always ask, how much water should I drink? And we suggest around, I mean, it's the general recommendation, 3/4 of your body weight in ounces. So you can calculate what that is. That should be what you're aiming for. And if you're really low right now on water, don't stretch yourself to that 3/4 of your body weight in ounces limit. Really just try to increase maybe by 8 ounces every couple of days and work up to that goal. Otherwise, you're probably going to be spending a lot of time in the bathroom. Well, that said, we hope that this is helpful. The 5 habits really that are going to help you put these things all together, they're not complicated. They're probably actually not even cutting edge for people. These are things that are common sense, but we hope that the reasons behind them are really what helps to motivate you to take it to the next level. Because when you do, you're going to feel so much better.
Thanks for tuning in. If you're a busy working parent like us, you understand the daily challenges. Our mission is to make exercise and nutrition simple and exciting, helping you and your family thrive even on the busiest days. We've got a fantastic free 5-day online challenge that's tailor-made for super busy people like you.
If you like a high-vibe workout environment with professional coaching, swing by one of our franchise studios for a free intro workout.
Check the show notes for details or head on over to purephysique.com when you have a moment. We know those moments are rare.
Until next time, lift weights, eat meat, and never forget, you were created on purpose for a purpose.
What did I say?
Today's habit is 5 habits.
Mixed and edited by Desmond McNeese for We Mixed It, LLC. Go to whatsoundsawesome.com.